Mark chapter number 12, verse number 41. This is the last of a 4-week series, which we've entitled, each Sunday morning we just took a different individual. Four people who amazed Jesus. Four people who amazed Jesus. Now, let me qualify that. I don't think Jesus ever saw something and went, wow, I didn't know that was going to happen, you know. But he took note of what they did. It impressed him enough for him to stop everything he was doing and call his disciples around and say, did you see that? Did you see that? You know, folks, I hope that you want to live that way. I don't want to be a person who disappoints Jesus. I want to be a person whom the Lord can look down from time to time and say, did you see that? You know, like he did with Job. Did you see that? Hey, devil, did you see that? Did you see what they just did? That's one of my children. They did that. And we had two men, and now we're having two women, but I'm finishing out with two ladies. But I want to tell you something, teenagers. I've seen teenagers just amaze me, and I think just cause the Lord to be able to brag. Now, teenager, want to be that kind of a young person. Man alive. I mean, anybody can be a knucklehead. It doesn't take any talent to be a knucklehead. It doesn't. It doesn't take a bit of talent to be a, I think I was trying to say talent and knuckle at the same time. It doesn't take a bit of talent to be a knucklehead. You know, anybody can just go out and live a so-so Christian life and just, you know, putter around and be pushed around and be peer pressured around. It doesn't take any strength to do those kind of things. But it takes strength for a young person to stand up for Jesus Christ. It takes strength for a young person to go out and behave themselves when everybody else their age isn't, you know. So, and children are amazing. I think children sometimes, folks, we see some of the purest acts of Christianity just out of little children. You know, they haven't been all runt and tainted by everything. I love to hear children pray. You love to hear children pray. It's just like, you know, they're talking to Jesus. You know, they're trying to put the airs on. They're not trying to impress anybody. They're just talking to Jesus. And they have a love for Jesus sometimes I'm envious of. You know? So I want to be that type of a person. Now, John the Baptist, we talked about him. He was the prophet that amazed Jesus. He ought to be every preacher's mentor, every preacher's hero, honestly. And then we had the Roman centurion who had such faith that his faith amazed Jesus. He said, you don't have to come to my house. He said, I don't have to see it with my eyes. I don't have to see you with my eyes. I don't have to see you perform an act. You know what? If you just say it, Lord, it's going to happen. And boy, we just get a hold of that kind of faith, you know. And then we had last week the lady by the name of Mary. And this was the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And you know what? She had a form of worship that amazed Jesus. Just this purity of worship. And was willing to humble herself and give the best that she had. Be willing to be broken so that something sweet can come out. And now we're at Mark chapter 12 and verse number 41. And we're going to see a lady that we don't know her name. She's just noted as being a widow. And we're going to talk this morning on the sacrifice that amazed Jesus. The sacrifice that amazed Jesus. Very simple message, but I hope it'll speak to your heart this morning. The sacrifice that amazed Jesus. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in M-U-C-H much. And there was a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which maketh a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto him and unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury, for all they did cast in of their, boy, this next word is important, abundance, but she of her want. Those are the two words that are key in this verse that maybe you ought to have underlined. Abundant versus want. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even, watch this, all her living. The sacrifice that amazed Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, because we know that we need you. We know how bad we need you. We don't want to start this thing without pleading and asking for your help and grace and strength and wisdom. Lord, it's preaching time at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. It's time for the Word of God to be expounded upon, to be preached. It's time for the Savior to be uplifted. And it's time, Lord, for all of our hearts to be stirred. And I pray, Lord, that you'd not let one thing happen in this service that would diminish from anything that you want to accomplish. We pray for that one in here that may be unsaved. They've come. They don't know Jesus as their Savior. We pray for them that they would be saved, Lord, even this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would bring conviction and stirring upon your children. Lord, help us not to become satisfied with wherever we may find ourselves in our Christian walk. But Lord, I pray that you would stir us, that we'd want to go to higher ground, that we'd want to, Lord, tread on ground yet unclaimed, that you'd want us, Lord, to experience and to go places that maybe we haven't gone yet in our Christian life. And Lord, help us at the end of the day to have let happen what you envision happening in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. What a neat story. 1, 2, 3, 4 verses. Not a long story, but what a really, really neat story. Jesus is sitting there watching folks come and watching them give. And he observed that there were some very well-to-do people. I'm sure that he recognized this and knew this, or we would have known this by maybe the way they were dressed, the way that they carried themselves, maybe the fancy chariot or vehicle that they showed up in. It was obvious just by looking at them that they were well-to-do. And the Bible does say that they cast in M-U-C-H much. And by the way, you don't hear Jesus condemning this. He does in no way berate them for this. This isn't a negative thing. They were generous because they gave much, but they were generous out of their abundance. And then we see also then that there was a poor widow. And she was poor. I think we knew that the same way that we knew that the others were rich. I envision this lady, she probably wore that day, since it was the Sabbath day, the very best that she had. But her very best paled in comparison to what the other rich people were wearing. She was a widow lady by herself. Because of that, she lived on very, very little. Biblically, what she lived on, if things were done right there, was what her family provided for her. And because she was poor, she either came from a very poor family who sacrificed and did the best they could but didn't have much, or she came from a family that was well-to-do themselves and weren't doing right. And I take that a moment to say that, folks, because the Bible says in the treatment of our elderly people, it first falls upon the responsibility of family to care for them. And you know, we ought to make sure. You know, my mom and dad cared for me when I couldn't care for myself. You know, folks, all of life is a big circle, and that's going to come around one of these days, and we ought to do the best we can to care for our folks when it comes to that time in their life, you know. And here she was. She didn't have a whole lot for whatever reason. And the Bible says that she was a certain widow and a poor widow, but she did come that day with the biggest gift of all. The Bible says she threw in 2 mites, which maketh a farthing, which isn't too much money, folks. And the Bible says Jesus stopped everything. Didn't we see this in all cases? The people that make, all of a sudden he calls the attention of the disciples, stops everything, brings them to something, points this lady out. By this time, maybe she's already making her way back out of the synagogue. Maybe she's already heading out and he wants to get his appointments. Did you see that lady? That lady right there. Did you see that? I oftentimes wonder how the disciples discerned what they were seeing compared to what Christ discerned with what he saw. I think that those disciples probably from time to time watched these rich people come forward and give in much. And again, we're not condemning them for what they did. The Bible doesn't condemn them for what they did. But they gave in much. And I'm sure that that was very impressive to the disciples. Did you see that? Did you see what a large offering? Did you see what a large gift he gave? And probably when the widow came through, they didn't pay a whole lot of attention, but Jesus did. It grabbed his attention. In verse 43, it says, he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in, M-O-R-E. Now they gave much, but she gave more. That this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had. Not just her want, folks, even all her living, all her living. Now, I want to take this story and I want to encourage you in this matter of sacrifice. I want to encourage you in this matter of giving. Not just money, folks, because this message is not just a message about money. It's about something much more than that and much bigger scope than that. But I think that we oftentimes, folks, feel like that we're given so much to God. And the honest truth is, all God ever gets is some of our abundance. Some of our abundance. So what was it about this lady that amazed Jesus? What was it about this lady that made Jesus take his divine righteous finger and point her out? What was it about Jesus that had him bring his disciples and assemble a little classroom situation and teach them a lesson about giving and about sacrifice? What was it that amazed Jesus about this poor widow lady? Now let me just give you 3 points concerning this story that I think is pertinent to what we want to learn. Number one, let me give you this point first. Jesus observes our giving. Jesus observes our giving. Now notice verse number 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Jesus beheld their giving. He observes our giving. This story is told about a preacher who surprised his people one Sunday night. He called the ushers up, had the word of prayer for the offering. They went to the back of the church, and he instead of standing up here on the platform or sitting down like he normally did, he walked right back there with them. And he got in the middle of the aisle, and he began, as the plates were being passed, well, so you aren't smiling, but I am. I think this is funny. And he got right in the middle of the aisle, and as the plates were being passed, he looked back and forth, first to his right and to his left, and watched every single person and what they put in that night. Some people decided they ought to go for a double blessing. They began to go back for their wallet, thinking, oh my goodness, he's going to see what I gave. And some people looked a little ashamed, and some people didn't seem to bother him a bit. But he went up the aisle, and every single row he watched. Why aren't you smiling? Every single row he watched. Everything that was put in the plate, who put one in the plate, he came forward. And by the way, some of them were mad, like a few of you right now. Some of them were mad about that, him doing that. And he got up here and said, I just wanted to tell you, I noticed some of you seemed upset that your preacher would come back and watch what you put in the offering plate. And he said this, don't you realize God sees every single week what you put in the offer plate? God, you know, why are we more concerned about what a person sees than we are what God sees? You see, if you're a born-again Christian, folks, this is a Bible church, and we preach Bible. We preach the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. God knows whether or not you tithe. God knows whether or not you give offerings. God knows whether or not everything that goes into plate every week is out of your abundance or sometimes out of your want. God knows whether you've ever one time in your life really sacrificed, really experienced sacrifice in order to see God's work go forward. God sees it. God knows. And by the way, that's the most important person to be worried about and the most important person to try to impress. This whole series of messages is about trying to get our eyes from looking horizontally and worried about what people think and get to looking vertically and realize that we ought to be more concerned about amazing Jesus and impressing Jesus than we are what people around us think. And that's what this whole series of messages, I hope you've got that. That's the whole crux of all 4 of these messages. Folks, listen to me. Amaze Jesus. We be concerned about what he thinks. Be concerned about impressing him. Be concerned about what he has to say about what you do from day to day, not what people have to say. You know, I wonder how many missionaries, I'm just telling you this, I'm just being open my heart, and I don't know, I'm no judge of anything. I don't know anything, don't need to know anything. I wonder how many missionaries aren't on the field that could be on the field today if Christians would learn what it means to sacrifice. I wonder how many buses couldn't be run in churches today if people would learn what it means to sacrifice, you see. I just think that we ought to understand something, folks. Jesus observes our giving. You think that story of the preacher was a little funny? Can you imagine the synagogue opening and Jesus walks up, gets him a seat right beside the box where they put the money and sits there and watches everybody? You know what? He did the same thing this morning. He'll do the same thing tonight. He'll do the same thing Wednesday night. And what we're saying here, folks, is listen to me. We ought to give with this in mind. Jesus observes our giving. Jesus observes our giving. Well, Brother Jerry, I sacrifice in a big way. And you know what? I never get a pat on the back. Nobody seems to notice. Nobody, I guess, should notice. But hey, let me tell you, there is somebody that notices. Jesus notices when we sacrifice. It's not just money, folks. It's our time. You see, I think sometimes we give and we give and we give. And maybe it's been a while since the preacher said something. It's been a while since the people that we serve have said anything to us. Let me tell you something. You never give anything to God where He doesn't see what you have given Him. And so give of your time freely. Give of your talents freely. Give of your money freely as God directs you, folks. But let me tell you, God's work goes forward in the best kind of way when Christians learn to sacrifice, when Christians learn to give. Jesus, number one, Jesus observes our giving. Jesus observes our giving. Number two, let me give you this statement here. Jesus measures sacrifice not by what we give, but what we have left. Jesus measures sacrifice not by what we give, but what we have left. Now, these folks here, these rich folks, they gave quite a bit. But they gave out of their, what's the word? Abundance. That's very important. They gave out of their what? Now, you ought to get that word down in your heart. You ought to have that underlined in the scripture. Because here's what we think is sacrifice. Wow, God was good to me. And here is a $200 extra that I was able to make above my needs, or here's an unexpected blessing. Wow, here's some extra money, and I'll give some of that to the Lord. That is your abundance. That is your abundance. I think Christians today, I'm just going to tell you this, what I believe most Christians today give of their abundance, and very few give of their want. I really believe that. I think we really haven't got a vision in Christianity concerning this matter of giving and this matter of sacrifice, you see. And I think that this, Jesus says, listen, I'm not looking at what you put in the plate. I'm looking at what's in the wallet. Amen. I'm not looking at what you gave to missions. I'm looking at what's left in the bank account. See, God's not so much impressed by what you give, and He doesn't label it by sacrifice, by how big a gift it is. He's labeled it sacrifice by how much we have left. Now, and let me just give you an example. For somebody in this room to give $50 towards a special missions project, or towards the purchasing of a bus, or towards helping some young person that's trying to get to the Christian school that maybe don't have the means to really do it. You know, for some person in this room to give $50, the honest truth is, for some, and probably for many people in this room, to give $50 this week extra, you know what? Oh, you know what? You might not be able to go out and eat one or two extra times that you planned on, or you might not be able to buy pop and candy at the store, or you know what, you might have to just cut a little extra. But all those folks are just one thing. I mean, they're just extra things, and it's not really a much of a sacrifice. But enough for somebody else in this room. The honest truth is, we have widow ladies in this room. We have folks that are struggling. You know what? To give $50 to something like that would be a huge, huge sacrifice. Now, Brother Jerry, it's just $50. How can this be $50 and not be a sacrifice, and this be $50? It's because God's more interested in what you have left than what you gave, you see. And I think that what we ought to do is we ought to take a hard look at this. I'm going to believe something with all my heart. Me and Cheryl has practiced this. I don't talk a lot about what we do. The Bible says our left hand should know what our right hand is doing when it comes to this matter of giving. I think giving is a private matter. I think it's something between you and God. But you know what? It really needs to be between you and God. You need to get God in on it. Amen. But I found out this, every year that we've been married, we've tried to increase, we've done it every year that I can remember. We've increased our we've always tithed, we increase our offerings every year. We have done that by faith, stepped out always, every single year. We give more in offerings above our tithe than we prepped the previous year. Guess what, folks? I can't keep up with God. Did you hear me? I can't keep up with God. I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about stepping out a little bit. I'm talking about, okay, you know what? We may not be able to do some things, but let's help God's work. We may not be able to go some places. Let's help God's work. Listen, buses need to be run. Buildings need to be built. Things need to go forward. Ministries needed to be started. Hey, people. Listen, if all we're doing is giving out of our abundance, we're not sacrificing. We're not. I mean, you know what? Sometimes we ought to learn to give till it hurts. Well, Brother Jerry, though, I've got plan A, B, C, and D on building up for my retirement so I can do this, that, and this, and that, and the other. Somebody else probably going to spend that money. You see, I'm not against you saving. I'm just saying, folks, you know what? It'd be good every once in a while for us to feel a little hurt. I mean, for us just to actually have to... Listen, this widow lady was not condemned. She was congratulated. She was not condemned. She was congratulated. Now, I think that's true on time. Oh, Brother Jerry, I'll tell you what. You're not going to be preaching to me here. I'll tell you what. This past week, I give 7, 8, 9, 10 hours. I came over here and give over 10 hours in the various ministries of this church. I gave the Lord 10 hours of my time this week. Boy, I'll tell you what. I'm an awfully good Christian. You hear that, Brother Jerry? I gave almost somebody else. I gave 5 hours. That's a lot for me. 5 hours. I gave almost 168 hours in the week. What's the principle here? God isn't impressed by how much you give. He compares it to what's left. Are you listening? Well, I tell you what, we've got it in our heads. Oh, I mean, we do. I'm talking about good people in this room. Got it in your head. You've justified the fact that, you know what, if you show up and give 1 or 2 or 3 extra hours a week, boy, you've done God a big favor. I just think God doesn't look at the hours you give. He's looking at the hours you have left. It's amazing what we have time for. What we take the time to do, you see, and then want to say that we don't have time to give. Now, folks, here's a Bible principle, and we need to get it into our hearts. Sacrifice is not given out of our abundance. Sacrifice is giving of our want. Sacrifice is given when it hurts. Sacrifice is not measured by how much we give, whether in money or time or talents. What it's based on is how much we have left for ourselves, you see. And I think that the work of the New Testament church is not being financed, not being done, because people have come by and cast in of their abundance and not of their want. This is good for us. I'm glad it's quiet this morning. It's okay. Folks, you know what? It's all right. Preaching is supposed to stir some things. I mean, it really is. Now, don't just pass this off. Oh, well, there's a preacher up there again. He's talking about giving. He's talking about time. He's talking about coming over and doing God's work. Same thing we've heard for all that. Don't. We need to stop that. We need to stop justifying in our minds what we're doing. The honest truth is, most of the work of God is being paid for and done out of our abundance and not out of our want. And God's not condemning that. God did not condemn them for giving out of their abundance. I think God's thrilled and happy. But you know what? That doesn't mean he's satisfying. I just think to myself, when we get to heaven and God compares our play time to our service time, he's going to kind of look at him and go, what's with this? Didn't I give you good health for 60 and 10? For the most part, didn't I give you a strength for 60 and 10? Listen, folks, there's going to be an accounting at the day of judgment. An accounting. Didn't I provide you with financial blessing? Didn't I take care of you in abundance? Well, let's take a look at this, Christian. Let's see what you've done with this. That's what the judgment seat's all about. Did you hear me? That's what the judgment seat's all about. It's an accounting process. God gave you so much. You were a steward of that time. You were a steward of that money. What return did I get on my investment? You know, I think that our generation, I'm putting myself right in here with all of us. I think our generation of Christians are going to stand ashamed. For the most part, we're going to stand ashamed. The judgment seat of Christ. What we thought was such a big deal that we'd done for God. And surely God's going to get up and rant and rave about us and pat us on the back and give us the biggest crown that ever got passed out. I think when we're standing beside people of true sacrifice, Our little penance is going to pale in comparison. Now listen, Blessed Old Baptist Church, let me just talk to you. I'm not talking to visitors right now. Let me just talk to you. If you're a member here, shame on you if you don't come over and serve in this church. Shame on you. Brother Hyams called them pew bumps. Shame on you. He's coming and filling a plate. I'm glad you're here. I don't want you to be here. But you know, there's more. Let the Word of God do something in your heart. Let the Word of God stir some things in your life. Man alive. I'm so tired of hearing people talk about how busy they are. Well, who set up your schedule? Who set up your schedule? You can say yes and no to whatever you want, for the most part. You see, I think that, listen, this is good. They came through and they gave a lot of their abundance, but Jesus didn't stop one of the time of that group of people and say, wow, did you see that? I don't care how big the gift was. He didn't one time stop and say, did you see that? You know why? Because he knew that they were giving out of their abundance. It wasn't hurting them to give. It wasn't hurting them to give. I'm talking about ladies in this room. What happened to our great force of volunteer ladies? Pastor, the world got them, I think. I think the world got them. I think the world just enlisted them. And now they're all working and trying to make money so they can have the third car and the four-wheeler and the, you know, I don't know. I don't know. What happened to our ladies? What happened to our volunteer, the great army of volunteer ladies that have always come and done for the New Testament church through all the years? What happened to them? Where'd they go? Oh, yeah. I can't believe it. Pastor Jerry asked me to oversee this. Kind of blessed her, asked me to help in this. I can't believe. Doesn't he realize 4 months ago I helped with this other thing? You see, folks, this ought to be a way of life. Christian service ought to be a way of life. Amen. You know, we're as busy as we want to be. We're as busy as we let ourselves be, you see. How come we can say no to God's service, but we can't say no to something that involves making extra cash or is fun? You know, it's amazing where we say no and where we say yes. Now, here's the Bible principle for us today. Here's what God's trying to communicate. Listen, Jesus observes our giving. He measures sacrifice, not by what we give, but what we have left. So that means if I'm going to amaze Jesus, and I'm going to impress Jesus, I don't want him to look down and say, Jerry Ross is giving. Look at the amount he's giving. But the honest truth is, buddy, that's cream from the top. He could do more if he'd be willing to hurt a little. Or look at the time Jerry Ross is spending. Isn't that great? But the honest truth is, it's a pittance compared to the time he takes for other things. You see. Now, I'm more worried about, we all need to be more worried about amazing Jesus than we do impressing the world. Amen? Let me give you the third point. The third point is this. Very simple message. Boy, this widow, I'm going to tell you something. She convicts me. You know, this is where you're reading in your devotions, Brother Klein, you get to this story and you just want to kind of rush through it and go to the next chapter, because if you look at it too hard, you know you're going to come up short here. Okay? And that's good for us. All right? Number three, Jesus commended this widow because she gave all she had. Brother Jerry, I'm bailing out on you now. I'm leaving before you get to this last point. All right. It's one thing to say Jesus watches. Another thing to say we ought to give out of our want. Now you're going to say that we ought to give everything we have. You know what, folks? It does not hurt a Christian from time to time just to empty the bucket completely out to give everything. And I'm talking about time. I'm talking about talents. I'm talking about finances. I'm talking about really learn what it is to dump it out and trust God. Now, I'm not under any pretense that a person can live this way. And look at me, give me a chance here. This was a woman who's coming every Lord's Day, every Sabbath, and giving that week's offering. And you know, Pastor has set for us a great, great standard here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. In this matter of giving, he's not one of these guys that gets up here and pulls out a $50 bill as well. I got a 50, who else has got a 50, and try to raise, you know, I don't like that kind of stuff. What he's done is just simply said this, folks. Every single week, what we ought to do is we ought to pray and we ought to seek God and we ought to ask what he would tell us to give. And as long as we do what he tells us, there's always enough for what we need to do. If we'll let God tell us, not if we're telling God. Now, God, understand before we have this conversation that this is what I'm looking at. Okay, Lord, and you know, and also we want to go here and we want to go then do this week. And so really what we're talking about is this a little bit here that's left. Now, how much of that? See, now you're dictating to God. You're not offering to God, you see. Do you think she understood why? You think that made sense to her? During the week, she keeps feeling the impression of God. Give it all. Give it all this next week. Give it all. Lord, how am I going to live? Give it all. Lord, I don't even know how I'm going to. Give it all. Watch this. This woman could have argued herself out of this. She could have come up with a list of reasons that to us sounds very logical. If she would have mentioned this to her sons or mentioned this to her friends, they would have tried to talk her out of it. You listen, there's faith and then there's foolishness. Be careful. What are you going to do? You can't give it all. Mom, that doesn't even, you can hear the son. Mom, that doesn't even make sense. You can't give everything you got. What are you going to do? What are you going to live on this week? But she couldn't get away from one thing. Give it all, give it all, give it all. So she gets her little cane out and she heads to the synagogue and she walks up there to the front. She looks at all she had and she said, okay, Lord, I don't know why you want me to do this, but I'm going to do it. And she puts it in and she looks over and sees a man she didn't even recognize. He smiles at her and she starts down the aisle. And forever and ever in all history since, it's been recorded in God's word that this woman obeyed God and done right, and Jesus commended her for it. Now, how many of you want to bet that how many of you think for one second, you think for one second that woman done without him? How many of you for one second think that God let that woman starve to death that week, that she didn't have anything to eat for the next 7 days till she got her next week allowance? Does anybody in here, knowing the Bible, does any of you believe that for one second? Let me tell you something, what I found out in life. And I'm not talking about every week of your life giving every single thing you have. I'm talking about when God impresses you to give extra or to do something that doesn't even make logical sense. Just do it! God will be debtor to no man.
Amen.
Throughout the history of this church, I've watched. I always say this. I always am amazed by. I think the two things that amaze me the most in the ministry is the goodness of Almighty God and the generosity of God's people. I really mean that. I really mean that. Over the years, I have watched people do some of the most unbelievable things. And oftentimes, I've seen them done and not even know who done them. But thought to myself, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You know, one of these days, sooner or later, folks, you know, you're going to find that there's a really neat way to live. Remember what we said about faith? See, we want, okay, this is what we want for the widow. All right, Lord, all right, you're wanting me to give everything. This is all I've got this whole week. Now, Lord, you show me how you're going to take care of me, and then I'll give it. I prayed about it, and I told the Lord if he'd show me, then I'd give it. And he didn't, so that means he doesn't want me to give it. That's not faith. And again, I'm not talking, I don't think this woman every week of her life walked in and put in everything she had in there. But I know that week she was supposed to, and there was a reason for it. And the reason was Jesus was there, and he was going to make note of it. He was going to teach his disciples something about it. And folks, let me tell you something. It's good sometimes to give irrationally if God's telling you to do it. Now, I know you're not going to find that in any financial textbook, and you're not going to be taught that in any business college, but let me tell you something, it makes good Christianity, it makes good living. Time to time in my life, and I'm going to give personal testimony here, because I think you want the fastest way to lose your reward of anything is start bragging about your giving. But I've done it, you all have done it too, or most of you, I hope, have tasted of this, but there's been times God's burdened my heart to give money towards a certain extra for a certain missionary, extra for a certain ministry. And I'm going to tell you something, I couldn't get away from that, and I didn't even see how I could do it, but I knew the amount, and I knew where it was supposed to go, and we did it! Well, I don't look like I'm doing too bad. I'm probably not going to starve to death. You see what I'm saying? And it's an exciting way to live. So when God impresses upon your heart to give it all, give it all! Let me say this, and we're going to lay money aside now. You know what? Sometimes it's just good to just give it all, even in this matter of time. You know, for short durations of time, folks, around here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, there's been projects, there's been programs, there's been special. We're going to have revival coming up. We've got harvest days coming up. You know, what's wrong with just saying, all right, every evening this week, I'll tell you what, preacher don't ask us very often, and he don't plan a lot of stuff, but I'm going to tell you something, this is a big deal, and every spare minute this week, we're just going to give it all. We're just going to give it all. We're just going to give it all. Brother Jerry, I got to cut the grass. Well, you can cut it next week. It'll be twice as high. You'll have to go a little slower, but I've got it. You know what you got to do? You know what me and you've got to do? We got to do what God tells us to do. That's what we got to do. Have you ever, I double dog dare you, have you ever just put it all on the line for God? Have you ever just emptied yourself? Have you ever just said, this is something bigger than me? Bigger than our little petty things? And you know what? For 1 week, the world isn't going to come to an end. I'm just going to go out and we're just going to give God all of it this week. I know you can't live like that. I'm not asking you. I'm just saying, isn't it from time to time something more important that can shake us out of our schedule? Shake us out of our little priority list? Just every once in a while, doesn't the Holy Spirit knock on your door and say, hey, how about everything? How about everything? So the best things that happen around here, I mean, some of the best things that happen around here is when a group of people just say, hey, you know what? We've got all this stuff that needs to be done and all this stuff at home, but you know what? For the next week or the next 2 weeks, we got a program to put on. We got a special day coming up. We got revival services. So let's just hit it. Let's just do it. We'll play catch up later. I'm going to tell you something. That's neat. It's tiring, but it's a good tired. It's a good tire. Why are we sitting in this building here? I'll tell you why. Because a group of people said for 6 months, you know what we're going to do? Brother Charles doesn't get off the mine and go home and kick his feet up. Brother Charles gets off from working at Peabody Coal Company and drives his work van and pulls right into this thing. And for 6 months, just about every evening and every Saturday, him and pastor and a bunch of men, this is what they did. This one thing we do. We give it all till it's done. Don't ask this new generation that. Oh, my goodness sake. Well, good night. He planned another work day. We had one 6 months ago. What's he want from us? I don't know. We're a bunch of babies. We are a bunch of babies with our little basket full of excuses. Listen, go tell the widow. Go tell the widow about it. Go tell the widow. See, I think in 1975, is that when we built this? 75 into 76. I think for 6 months, God just a lot of times went, do you see them people? Look at that. That's amazing. Look at that. They're like a bunch of bees. Look at that. Like a bunch of ants. Look at them. Just building and pulling and pushing and exhausted and tired and working all day and then coming over here and working all evening and Saturdays. And look at them. It's crazy. Well, that's why you're sitting in this nice auditorium today. That's why Blessed Hope Baptist. Listen, that's your heritage. I don't think a preacher, I don't think a church ought to ask somebody to live like that all their life. But I think there's times when we folks just need to take a look at things and say, what's wrong with giving it all? What's wrong with giving it all? See, what's wrong with giving it all? See, Brother Bo, you've seen some exciting things in your bus route over the years. But probably the best Sundays have been the Sunday after the Saturday where you just said, you know what, instead of regular time, I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to give this whole day to God. I think we're just going to give it all this weekend. Maybe we'll even go Thursday and Friday, Saturday. Because it's a special Sunday and pastor's planned a big deal, and let's just give it all. And miracles happen. The widow's mite, a sacrifice that amazed Jesus. Now look right up here and we're done. The most important thing that you can give to Jesus is to give him your heart. If you've never been saved, you've never been born again, you ought to start by giving him your heart. What do you mean, Brother Jerry? I mean, good night. Jesus Christ loved you so much, he came down from Calvary, or came down from heaven and died on Calvary's cross. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again. He did that, folks, because we're sinners. We're sinners. You see, yeah, all of us, we're all in the same boat. For all his sin comes short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. We're all sinners. We're all underneath the condemnation of sin. But different folks in this room, all over this room, could stand and give lip testimony to this. There was a time in their life when they fell under conviction of their sin. They realized that they had sinned against a holy God. They were guilty before God. They begin to feel the conviction of God upon their life and the drawing of the Holy Spirit, the drawing of the Father upon their life to help them to know, hey, something's wrong. You need to be saved. Something's wrong. You need to be saved. Something's wrong. You need to be saved. They begin to understand that Jesus was God in the flesh. He came down was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again. You know what? If you'll put your faith and trust in Jesus today, He'll save you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. The sacrifice that amazed Jesus. He observes our giving. He measures sacrifice not by what we give, but what we have left. He commended this widow because she gave all that she had. Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to hearts. Lord, if be there someone in this room this morning that doesn't know you as personal Savior, I pray, Lord, that they would experience that this morning. God, would you please bring conviction of sin upon their heart? Help them to, Lord, feel the drawing power of you, Heavenly Father, upon their life. And help them to understand who Jesus is, that he loved them so much. As God the Son, he came down and died on an old rugged cross for their sins, for the sins of the whole world, yes, but for their sins. I really believe this. I believe if I was the only person on earth, Jesus would have come down and died for me. He loves us. He was buried and he rose again the third day. He offers the free gift of eternal life to anyone that will put their faith and trust in what he did on Calvary's cross. Now, Lord, I pray that you would stir hearts this morning. Help us in this matter of our life. It's so easy for us to just get in a certain way of life, a certain level of commitment, a certain level of living, and not ever consider maybe what the Bible would challenge us to do beyond that. Stir Christians' heart. Lord, help us to be stirred. Help us to be touchable. To be touchable. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.